Luke chapter 2. As far as Christmas messages, I have not preached from Luke chapter 2 this year. So Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we'll read verse number 1 all the way down to verse number 20, so bear with me if you would. I know I don't normally read that far as an opening text, but I like it. I like it. So we're going to read the whole thing, all right? Luke chapter 2 and verse number 1. He says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that he had heard and seen as it was told unto them." And so here you have, of course, the historical account, Luke's account of the birth of Jesus Christ. And opening up, it's a night just like every other night. For everybody around, it's just another night. You show up, I mean, the shepherds are there. What are they doing? Well, they're just out in the field with their sheep. They keep their sheep by night. They've made a fire. They've probably camped out. They're ready to go. The sheep are nestled in. Everybody's all set. Everybody in Israel, you know, they're done. The day is over. The workday is finished. The sun's setting. Things are gone. The lights are out. People are putting kids to bed, and they're taking care of what they need to, and they're finishing up the last of what they need to before they turn the lights out for the night. This isn't a spectacular night. It's the same as every other night that's happened on the planet since God made the sun, the moon, and the stars. Every night it ends the same for them. It just, they're running through. I don't know what you do at night, right? You get your time. You know when your kids go to bed, and or at least when they're supposed to, right? And you're working on that, and you're working on what you have to get done for the next day, and you're finishing up things. But eventually you got about a time that you normally go to bed, and the lights go out. Everything's done, and it's bedtime. And you lay down, and you pillow your head. And as far as you and I are concerned, our hope is that nothing eventful happens during the night. Right? That's not what we want. We want to sleep. How about you? I enjoy a night's sleep. I do not enjoy when I don't get my night's sleep. Right? You want a nice, calm, relaxing, go to sleep, lay down, no strange noises, no bumps in the night. You don't want some guy in the back ringing the bell. You don't want any of that, right? You don't want anything to disturb the night. But every once in a while, something real important happens in the middle of the night. And this night in particular is the night of all nights. This night, the shepherds get a rude awakening from an angel. And it's not bad news. You know, normally you get the call in the middle of the night, it's bad news. We've had those. You get the call in the middle of the night and it's to pray, it's to worry, it's to go and go take care of something or fix something or something's wrong. This is terrible. This is the best wake-up call you can get right here. The angel appears to these shepherds and all they think is it's just a regular night. But it's not a regular night to God. What they didn't know is it wasn't a regular night for them. They didn't know what was coming. But it was an unusual night. In fact, it was the night that would end darkness. Amen. Because the light of the world was stepping in. It was the night that would go ahead and remove all of eternal darkness and bring it everlasting light. It takes people from the dead of darkness into the glorious light of the gospel. Behold, there's good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. The glorious message that day cannot be improved upon. Most of the time, I'm sure Pastor Legault did it because he and I have talked about it. You try to do something, not weirdly different, but you try to do something. You get to the holidays, how many messages can you preach on the simplicity of the birth of Jesus Christ, right? How many things? So we read and we look and that's what we do. We read all sorts of things. We read the Bible and then we read how some other guy saw something in there that we may not have seen so that we can get something better, right, and different so that you can have something new so you can actually think, right? You came into church this morning hoping that I would read Luke chapter 2 and you would have nothing to think about because you've heard everything. And you probably have. So I may not succeed at giving you anything fun and different, but I want you to think just for a moment. This is the night to end all nights, right here. Amen. He wants to take you from darkness into His glorious light. Amen. And He shows up in the midst of the night. And the shepherds are the only ones who hear. This light arrives, and when it arrives, it doesn't arrive to the noble. It doesn't arrive to the great religious leaders. It doesn't arrive before kings and mighty men. It does not step in front of the rich and wealthy and powerful. Instead, it comes to shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. The angel doesn't show up and rouse the king. He doesn't show up to Caesar. He doesn't show up to Pontius Pilate. He doesn't show up to any of these guys who would be leaders. He shows up to shepherds in a field and says, "Here you go. The light has come. The light to remove darkness. The light that would go ahead and change the course of the history of all the world. There were thousands of nights before it and thousands of nights after it on the face of this earth, but none would compare to this night right here." And let's look at that night this morning. Father, I do pray You would bless the Word of God as it's preached. Give me wisdom. Help me to say what I ought to say and nothing more and nothing less. That the Word of God would have free course and free reign this morning. That You would bless Your Word and bless as we look at the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, today. I pray if someone doesn't know that Savior personally, they have never asked Jesus Christ to forgive them and to save them and to take them to heaven, knowing that He died for their sins, was buried, and rose again. I pray that today would be the day of salvation, that it would be now and they would call upon You today. Father, we do love You and I pray You would help us to get a fresh glimpse of our Savior again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Notice the first thing I want you to know is it's the appointed night. This was the time chosen of God. You get to Galatians chapter 4 and you can turn there if you want to, but I won't read the passage. You turn to Galatians 4 and you find out that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. His goal was when the fullness of time was come. Realize God has a timetable for everything. He's also never late. He doesn't get there early and He's never late. He's right on time every time. So, well, I think He's late. You're wrong. Well, I mean, he could have come earlier. Yeah, but he didn't. So he's right on time. He always seems to show up right on time. And here's Jesus Christ. You realize that he could have come at any point in human history? When God wanted to show up in the flesh, when Jesus Christ wanted to arrive, it could have come at any time on any given moment. He could have been born in the morning. He could have been born in the afternoon. He chooses to be born at night. And he chooses to be born on this particular night. Now, what is amazing about this night is that you look at certain things with history, and you find that this once again, there was this taxing we read about at the beginning. The taxing was made. And it was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And you start looking at the history, and what you find is that there were multiple taxings from the Roman government to ultimately the nation of Israel. They were owned by, ultimately, they'd been conquered and Rome had control of them. And so there's multiple taxings that happen, and it was part of a census. You had to be part of the census, and then they figure out how much money and all that stuff. They do all the things to make sure that you are paying what you should be paying, right? And they'll tell you how much to pay, don't worry. And so they'll let you know what you owe them. And so here's the government, right? They're going to come in and they're going to tax you, and so here they are. And the difference, though, is that the census, this wasn't supposed to happen then. This day that Jesus is making this trip was not the day that it was originally scheduled. In fact, it's been 2 years since it was scheduled. So what does that matter? Why does this matter? Well, because the Jews were arguing to Rome that they don't want to pay this tax and they want to argue about it. So as they argue about it, you find out that it's been delayed for about 2 years. So what does that matter? That matters because Joseph and Mary were not living in Bethlehem. But according to Micah, the Savior is supposed to be born in Bethlehem. That's where he's supposed to be born. Well, there's no reason for Joseph to take Mary, his espoused wife, who may not even have been espoused to him yet 2 years ago, but anyways, we won't do that. But she certainly wasn't with child of the Holy Ghost 2 years ago. So what's the Lord doing? He's waiting for the right woman. Now, I'm not Catholic. Don't get on me now. But he chose her, didn't he? She wasn't immaculate. She's not sinless. She's not perfect. You don't need her to go between you and God. None of those things, all right? But she was a good, virtuous woman, evidently. Because she caught the eye of the creator of the universe and said, she should probably be the one that takes care of my kid while he's here. I think that's pretty high remarks. I don't know about you. The Lord entrusts you with his kid? That's a pretty good deal. And God says, okay, I choose Mary. And then he also had to wait for somebody who was amazing as a husband. Say, why? Because Joseph had every right to get rid of her. And by get rid of her, I mean stone her. He didn't have to marry her. He didn't have to protect her. He didn't have to go ahead and put her away. You know, he could have put her away privily. And he chooses not. He could have done everything private if he wanted to. He could have done all sorts of things. And instead, Joseph says, okay, God said so, I'll do it. Amen. That makes Joseph a pretty incredible man as well. Religion likes to talk a lot about Mary. Joseph had to be pretty special. You know, it wouldn't have mattered if Mary was amazing if Joseph wasn't good to her and willing to follow God and listen just like she listened. Quite a pair. So he wasn't waiting for one person, he was waiting for two. Maybe that's why it took so long. I don't know. He's waiting for just the right two. And he gets the right two. So he's delaying. The census, you say why? Because he knew that Joseph is of the house and lineage of David. Why do they go to Bethlehem? They go to Bethlehem because the taxing. They weren't in Bethlehem because it was Christmas. All right. They weren't down seeing family, right? I mean, Christmas wasn't happened yet. They weren't down there for the holidays. They were down there to pay their tax. The only reason they're there, you realize God sets the timetable for mankind? And he sets the timetable right here. And he waits. and he waits. By the way, there's a wonderful timetable God had to meet you. He's introduced himself. He's got a wonderful timetable. It's been prophesied repeatedly that out of Jacob shall come a star, a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Balaam makes that proclamation in Numbers chapter 24. The book of Psalms repeatedly declares that the king will come. Isaiah, we looked at that in depth, right? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And here he is. He's going to sit upon the throne of his father David. And we've been looking at all those names. You know who he is? He's the one who comes. He's been prophesied about. He's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. He is going to come out. He'll be the king. He's the one who's got right to the throne. He's the one. And you know who he is? He's Jesus. And he's right on time. God moved the peoples of the world to design it so Jesus would be born in Bethlehem of Judea on that night, right there. They said, well, it wasn't December 25th. Okay, you're right. But it's a day we celebrate it. I'll take a day. You know, I understand the world is worldly. Lost people are carnal. Sadly, most saved people are carnal. All right. So then I'll take any day that anybody will ever even acknowledge the fact Jesus exists. All right? So if I got to use Christmas to do it, I'll do it. You say, "Us, oh, it wasn't December 25th, wasn't his birthday." Okay, I don't care. You know what I really care about? Whether somebody gets the gospel. And if I can utilize what I can utilize to get them the gospel, that's what you use. Become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And if you don't like December 25th as Christmas and all the things, okay, that's fine. I don't know what to tell you. I hope you use it as a wonderful time to tell somebody about a Savior that came into the world. Because whether it was December 25th or September 28th or whether it was June 4th or whether it's Christmas in July, who cares? All right, the world has figured out at least some semblance. You get an opportunity to tell them this was the night a Savior came into the world. What a wonderful time. They at least acknowledge. I know that they don't acknowledge everything we acknowledge. But it gives you a moment to be able to say something about a wonderful Savior that came into the world. Because this night changes the course of all of man's history. You realize if Jesus doesn't show up, there's no Savior that shows up. If there's without me, there is no Savior. That's the Lord's declarative. And if there is no Savior and Jesus doesn't show up, then there is no Savior. And God looked around, and you know what he was waiting for? Just the right time. Amen. And he may have waited 4,000 years of human history, but he decided right at the right time, I've got the Savior. I've got the right couple. I've got the right timing. I've got the right place. I've got everything is fulfilled in Jesus Christ on the appointed night when light came into the world. Look over at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. That wonderful night. That fateful night when the shepherds are in that field and they're probably laying down around a fire. They're probably getting ready to settle in for the night. They're probably all set. And they're just, the sheep are down and they're just kind of laying back and they're keeping an eye out. Maybe they're leaning on a rock or they're doing something like that where they're kind of comfortable, lean back, just relaxing. And then all of a sudden the heavens explode in light as that angel shows up. And all of a sudden they realize one thing. This is not your normal night. John chapter 1 and verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Here he is. He is the appointed person to show up. You've got an appointed time, an appointed night that God set up, and you have the appointed person that God decided would come in to be the Savior. You realize nobody else fits the bill of a Savior than Jesus Christ? Who else could die for the sins of mankind? Who else could do anything for you and I? You could try and send an angel, but they're not good enough. They're just not. They don't work that way. It couldn't be anybody. They aren't pure enough. The Bible says that the heavens are unclean in his sight. He says that the stars aren't pure. What is unpure about a star? It's just been tainted by the fact that it's created. And God's standing there going, no failure and no possibility of failure in me. Who else is he going to send? The angels have failed before.
Right.
Lucifer, in case you don't remember that guy, he was an angel. He takes a host with him. They failed before. You know, God said, I can't trust them. Too great of a task. You know who I can send? I can send myself. There are certain things in the Bible the Lord likes to do himself. Got a message on that. He just likes to do certain things by himself. You know, one of the things he did was purge our sins. There's nobody that's worthy to do it. Who's good enough to pay for the debt of all of the sins of the world? There's nobody like Jesus. We'll get to that in a minute. You realize it was God, the Son of God, steps down out of the glories of heaven. He leaves behind all of his royal robes. He leaves behind a throne. He leaves behind the praise of angels. He leaves behind the greatness of who he is as God of the universe and steps down from that glorious throne and steps down into the body of flesh that you and I are stuck with too. He was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He steps down and he sets aside the royal robes of glory to go ahead and be wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid down in a manger. He leaves the praise of the glorious angels around him, crying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come," for some shepherds that were out in a field to come and praise him. You talk about a step down. He leaves a clean, sinless, perfect, glorious heaven to dwell among sinful, wicked, vile man. Tainted with their sin all around him. Say, who is he? He's the God of the universe. He's the creator. He's the one who spoke the worlds into existence. He's the one that breathed into our nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul. And he leaves heaven to come down and be the fullness of Godhead bodily on the face of the earth. And the sad reality is he came unto his own and his own received him not. In Isaiah chapter 53, he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. You ever feel rejected? Feel like nobody wants you around? Feel like you're all by yourself? Feel like everything's awful? No room for Jesus in an inn. The lost world didn't care about him. Most of the lost world has no room for Jesus. The Jews didn't want him. They crucified him. The religious leaders, they didn't care. They set him up to be crucified. They didn't want him. How about you? Do you want him?
Come on.
Do you want him? I mean, God set aside one night for light to come into the world, and he set aside a day when you could be introduced to the person who is the light. He's come. The Savior has come. The great proclamation, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. One of the greatest moments in man's history, probably the greatest moment, is the day a Savior came into the world. And he's the only Savior God has provided. You know, one of the most interesting things is that God does not expect you to come to him and get to heaven of your goodness. He doesn't expect you to turn over a new leaf and next week will be New Year's and you're going to go ahead and make them some promises that you're not going to keep. And let's be honest, right? You make some promises and most of which they may last a day. And then you recognize the fact that there's still Christmas cookies or some other, right? And you're like, oh, well, I mean, I'll put it off till tomorrow. And then you forget about it. Oh, just one more day, right? That's just how we are. Just one more. It's fine. And we keep going and we keep going. God didn't ask you to be better before you could ever see him and get an appointment. God said, no. I'll come down there. You know how God is? God is, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. He's reasonable.
Amen.
He says, I'm reasonable. So what I'll do is, you can't make it up here. So what I'll do is I'll just come down there. Hey, you are never going to be good enough to step into heaven without me coming down there first to pay the debt of all of your sins because you can't pay it. And if you pay it, we're eternally separated and you're going to spend eternity in a lake of fire and it's not going to be good. And I don't want you there. So I'll come myself and make sure the job gets done. Oh, but everybody will reject him. Okay, that's fine. I'll be despised and rejected of men. I'll be a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. I'll go ahead and take the beating and the whipping that you deserve. I'll go ahead and take the punishment of sin. I'll go ahead because I'm the only one who can. When Jesus Christ, when you understand as Jesus Christ is the Savior, he's the Savior because nobody else has the job. You know, you have certain things you like to do yourself that nobody else really could do. You look at it and you go, nobody else can do that. I got to do that. I told Pastor Legault, my family hasn't been feeling well. I called him yesterday. I said, hey, heads up. If I get sick, in the middle of the night, if I get sick, I do not want you to have to figure out what you're doing at 8 o'clock in the morning when you're supposed to teach Sunday school and then preach. I was trying to be nice to him. And so I gave him a heads up. But this is what I said right after that. But if I'm not puking, I'm preaching. Say, why? Because this is what I do. Say, oh, other people can do it. He taught me long ago, that's not their job. Yep, people can fill in, and yep, they can preach, and yeah. And I would watch him, and he'd be in pain, and he'd be hurting, and he'd go, I got it still. I'd get calls the night before. Hey, bad morning this morning. I don't know if I'm going to be able to preach tomorrow. And I'd have a message ready. And he'd call me at 8 o'clock, just like I called him at 8 o'clock this morning. And said, nope, I'm good to go. Every once in a while it was, I can't go. But if there was any chance he could go, he was preaching. Say, why? Because nobody else is supposed to do that. Lord gave me. That's my task. You realize he could fill in for me this morning at a moment's notice. Pastor Thomas, Brother James, Brother Larry, Brother Howard, I could keep listing guys. We got guys all over the place that could fill in. Right? They're trying to say, there's no stand-in for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's nobody. You can't think of one person who could take the sins of mankind other than Him.
Amen.
There's nobody. There's no phone call going out going, hey, is there anybody else who could do this instead of me? That one question Jesus asked the Father, is it possible to let this cup pass? You know what that question means? Do we have any other options? We got any other ideas here? We got the biggest think tank ever we have got. Right? Who knows more than He does? And His answer is no. There is no other way.
Right.
If we're going to save them, this is the only way to save them.
Amen.
If this is the right day, then this is the only day. Jesus shows up. He gets down. Who's the only one that can come? Well, He's the only one that can come. Because if He doesn't come, we don't get a Savior. We get a chump. We don't get a Savior. We get somebody who couldn't fulfill the task if we didn't get the Savior. And Jesus arrives. And He arrives with one purpose and one purpose alone. Look over at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There it is. Say, what's his job? Save people from sin. One task. He's got one task. You get him there in Luke chapter 2, right? He gets there. They're at the, he's 12 years old. They went to the feast. They're coming back. They lose Jesus. Thank the Lord we can't do that. So we'd lose him. And here he is, and he's there. They find him in the temple, and he's talking with everybody else. He's talking to the doctors and the lawyers and all these people, and marveling at how much he knows and how amazing it is that he could understand these things as the carpenter's son. His mom, hey, don't you know we're looking for you? His reply, wist you not that I must be about my Father's business? He was solitary on track for one goal and one mission at all. To redeem Israel and to save the world from their sins. The price that was going to be paid, he knew. He knew the price that was paid. He says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. His purpose and his goal was solitary. He came for one purpose, and that was to give his life a ransom for many. His goal was to be the sacrifice for all of sin, for all of mankind, for all time. John the Baptist cries and sees him. He sees him afar off, and he says, hey, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You want the sin gone? There's the Lamb. You want the sin paid for? There He is. He's the Lamb. Oddly enough, in Luke chapter 2, this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes.
Amen.
That's not normal. That's wrapped up like a mummy. He's wrapped up in death garments on the day he's born. Say, what's that the sign of? The sign that he came to die for the sins of his people, for the sins of the world, for the sin that you and I have committed. for every lie you've ever told, everything you've taken, every terrible thought you've had, every wicked thing you've ever conceived yourself to do, every word you've spoken, every action you've taken, even the thoughts and the intents of your heart are discerned and paid for. Nobody else could do that. Nobody else could ever take care of your sin, but Jesus can. He came in as the Savior of the world, a light that shines in darkness, to make it so you could have the light of the glorious gospel shine on your heart. And at a time appointed, Jesus came into the world, and it was the appointed only person who could pay for our sins, because he had one appointed purpose that night, and it was to come into the world, live a perfect, sinless, clean life that you and I could never have and you and I could never attain, and Jesus Christ would exchange his righteous, perfect, sinless life for the sins of the whole world. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And the price at Calvary is the price of my sin and the price of yours. He came into this world knowing that he would have to lay down his life. He came into this world knowing there was no other way. He came into this world understanding that the day that he was born was the day that he began to walk down a road, knowing that that road ended at Calvary's cross and ultimately laid in a tomb and risen again to give eternal life. This is the night right here that it started. God's timetable has moved. He sets everything in order. He sets it in stage, and he lines everything up. He puts it all together, and he says, okay, now's the night. Tonight's the night. They're doing all the work on the play. Everybody's getting ready. Everybody's trying to memorize lines. Everybody's trying to remember where they're supposed to stand. Everybody's trying to remember when they're supposed to take stuff, move stuff, hand stuff, do stuff. All that, it's all right there. They're trying to figure out, where am I supposed to do this and what am I? And tonight is the night. The anticipation continues to rise. Morgan said to me before the Middlers were doing their skit, she said, I think I'm more nervous than the kids are. Right? The anticipation of what we have. Could you imagine the anticipation? God's up there waiting. Jesus Christ. It's been 9.5 months, right? Here she is. She's ready to pop. Everything's ready to go. Let's do this. And she has no idea. And here she is. And she's coming into Bethlehem. And she has no idea she's about to give birth. She probably has thought she's about to give birth for a month and a half, right? And so here she is. But she has no idea. But God knows. And he's waiting. And he says, oh, look, they've arrived at Bethlehem. Now, I blame Mary for one thing. Any of you ridden with a pregnant woman in a car? Say, why were there no rooms left in the inn? They were late getting there because of how many bathroom breaks they had to take for Mary, probably. Being, right? That's my guess. I don't know. That's just... They didn't think of all that scheduling in. Joseph's probably one of those guys like me. He just wants to keep driving and keep driving. Right, Brother James? Just keep driving, and when we have to stop for gas, you can stop for everything else, right? And that's probably Joseph, right? He's like, when we have to feed the animals, you can go. But until then, we're rolling. And she's like, I got to stop. And then 10 minutes later, I got to say, no. And they get pulling in. You know where God's going? Well, they're here. Right on time. Tonight's the night. He says, all right, time to go down there. Let's scare some shepherds. I've got to scare some shepherds half to death in the middle of the field. Let's do that. That sounds like yeah. And the angel of the Lord shows up. Lights up that night sky in front of those shepherds. And then he goes, fear not. That's just rude. Just saying. I feel like that's mean. Like, ha! Don't be afraid. is, right? Boom! Fear not. Okay. A little late. Could have told me that 10 seconds before you appeared, but okay. And here he is. Why shouldn't I be afraid? For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Because everybody's going to need him. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That message has never been improved upon. That night of nights, that moment, that night to end all nights shows up and it is proclaimed that a Savior has come because it is the greatest news mankind will ever receive. A Savior has arrived to pay for all of their sins and to give them a gift. Eternal life. Waiting. The night of all nights. If you don't have Jesus as your Savior, He came to save you. He came to end the darkness of your life. He came to remove the darkness, the sin, the blindness. He said, hey, I want to save the lost. Don't know where you are, don't know where you're going, don't know how to make it, don't know how to figure it out, don't know the way to go. Jesus says, well, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the light in the dark forest that you're standing in. And if you come to me, I won't cast you out. I'll take you. He that cometh to me, I will. He may have been despised and rejected of men, but Jesus Christ is willing to take and save to the uttermost everybody who wants to come to him. You remember the day you asked Jesus to save you? When he went from being the light of the world to your light? You remember, maybe it was nighttime for you. It may not have been physical darkness, but we know it was spiritual. And he showed up at just the right time. And you heard all about him. And this morning, Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's the Savior just as much today as he was this day. Just the same as the proclamation came out onto you, is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Today, I'm telling you, there's a Savior. And it's still Christ the Lord. And he's still the only Savior there is. And he is still willing to save whosoever will, let him come. And he is still the God that will save you if you want him. Let's go ahead and stand. Praise the Lord for the light that came into the world. Praise the Lord for a Savior that came. I like looking at those shalls in the Bible. What's going to happen? Said about Jesus, he shall save his people from their sins. No question about what he's going to do. He always accomplishes the task. Maybe you're in here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior. Maybe you'd be willing to come and we'd open a Bible and show you, answer your questions right from the Bible. How you can know your sins are forgiven. You've got a home in heaven. That Jesus is your Savior. You can know. Most people say, well, you can't know how to get to heaven. How do you know you're going? Well, because the Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know. You can know. Because the Bible tells you so. And if you'd be willing, I'd love to introduce you to Jesus, my Savior. Because he wants to be Jesus, your Savior. That's why he came. That's why we celebrate this day. That's why we proclaim him over and over again. Because there was one night that stands out from every other night of human history. The night a Savior came. Father, I do pray you would bless the invitation. Lord, help us. Father, that are saved to remember how wonderful of a night it was that not only a Savior came, but a wonderful night when we got to call upon Jesus Christ ourselves, and you turned our night into day and our darkness into glorious light. Father, if someone here doesn't have that, I pray they wouldn't leave this place in darkness. They'd get the light today. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.